What's going on, guys, and welcome to the Say Yes Project, where permission is granted. I am your host, Ariana, and I'm a child of God who is here to help you guys accept the invitation from God and all that comes with it. Before we get started in today's episode, I encourage you to follow us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify so that you can get the weekly Wednesday drop. I also encourage you to follow us on Instagram at the Say Yes Project Pod so that you can get regular updates on everything involving the show. I've noticed that the older that I am getting in this life, the more certain things from my childhood just hits a little bit differently. I think we can all agree that like certain food doesn't taste the same as it did when we didn't know what was in the ingredients of things, where certain behaviors we saw from our mothers and fathers felt very foreign, but now as an adult, it is more like I resonate, like I can empathize. I not even just empathize, like I completely understand some of my parents' up and down emotions. One of the things that's always cracked me up recently is that I completely now understand why my mom was so frustrated when I didn't take the chicken out the kitchen before she got to work, because she just needed me to do this one task and I didn't do it. But I digress. I think the further you walk into this Christian life, you start to realize that some of the scriptures that felt like people would just throw at you, that felt like they undermined your experience, you felt like they were cliches that didn't hold any truth, that they were kind of these dead scriptures. The older you get, one, you realize how much the word of God has never changed. It is very consistent. And in most of the language that he uses, he's using present tense, which I believe was intentional so that believers of then and believers of now can never say that, well, that's what happened before, but this is what's happening now. It's like, no, this is the same thing that's happening right now in our space, in our world. And one of those scriptures for me showed up very prominently, which is James 2:26, which is the famous phrase of faith without work is dead. And it had me curious in a sense, because a lot of times we're trying to figure out how to do this work, how to have faith, but also be in forward movement, how to have faith and not just sit on our hands, how to have faith in God and not lean on our own understanding, but again, don't be inactive. And oftentimes we really struggle with this. And I think that that's why, including myself recently, I feel like I've had such a complex faith problem, because I think about things like, you know, waiting on the Lord and, you know, he trusted him in all things and, you know, all of those phrases, which are accurate. But when you get to a scripture like this, where it's like faith without works is dead, how do you now conceptualize it? Like, how do I now operate in this duality of sense? And I think, again, that's why I said there's a faith problem. In a previous episode, I talked about waiting well, but I think, or not even think, I know that the reason why we don't wait well is because we have a faith problem. And our faith problem is oftentimes not connected with the holy God that we serve, but instead our faith problem has a lot to do with us allowing our own abilities to hop into what God can do. I was doing a Bible study and the study said in the margins, when you believe nothing significant can happen through you, you have said more about your belief in God than you have declared about yourself. So a lot of times we are mixing in our abilities with God abilities, and we have to oftentimes challenge this faith problem head on with not only the word of God, but also recognizing what it means in its totality, right? So even when I looked at James 2:26, so the exact scripture says, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. That's the scripture. So of course, when I study, I try to make sure that I go back to provide context to why, especially because this is the last line of this chapter. So that's significant for a reason why he ended. But most of James chapter 2 in its completeness tackles the concept of partiality and the examining of our faith, right? Because he talks about the sin of being one way, but also being another way, or trying to count sins and do all these things versus living a total life that's set apart from the world, that is set apart from the nonsense, that is consecrated to the Lord our God. That's the first half of the chapter, which echoes the same sentiments to Matthew 6:24 that says no one can serve two masters. You can't do that. Like, you can't say that I have faith, but then you also want to put your own abilities at the same breath, because our own abilities can make us outwork God. It can make us underwork God. It can, you know, have us in a very dangerous place when we are trying to live out in the will that God has for us. This can show up in so many different ways, and we have to make sure that we're ever present. And that's what James is tackling in that first scriptures in the beginning of James chapter 2. And really, from what I've seen and studied about James, James is actually a good book if you're trying to find practical ways to live this Christian life. So even in this section of text, he's really breaking down, like, okay, so this is the struggle that we often have in this work, whereas, like, even verse 1, my brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of God, Lord of glory. So a lot of times, you know, we are straddling the fence. It kind of goes back to that lukewarm perspective, like, okay, I'm gonna be over here, but I'm also gonna be over there. Like, I'm not necessarily, you know, grounded in the understanding of what my faith is in God. So that pretty much kind of, you know, wraps up that part. But then the next section of James talks about this faith without work, right? And let's dive into what works actually means. So in the Bible, when they're talking about works, it refers to deeds, action, or labor, often in the context of good deeds or deeds performed as a result of faith. Even I went a little bit deeper to look at what was the original language. Like, what was the word choice? Because the word for works is different in Hebrew than it is in Greek. So James used the Greek version of works, which is pietas. This is often used to describe the trust and belief in one in God and the divine plan. It often emphasizes the certainty of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen, which we remember from Hebrews 11:1, which echoes that same sentiment, right? So this is the faith that is rooted in certainty. So if we go back to the scripture where it says, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. So the works that we're talking about is not just having faith in God, knowing who he is, believing what he can do in your life, but it is also the implementation of actions, deeds, and labor that produces good fruit. So you can't have faith without works, and you can't have works without faith. It's dead. It's a part. You can't do it. And a lot of times we will teeter-totter, which goes back to that partiality, teeter-totter between, okay, I'm going to have faith in God and I'm not going to do anything, right? Which is a lot of times what we hear, like, in social media, where it's like, well, you guys just keep being outside. You need to wait on God. Okay, well, like, yes, we can wait on God to move mountains for us and grow things within us. And we also have to put ourselves in positions to receive what is given to us. So that's almost like if you're a single man or woman and you desire marriage and that is what you want. So you said, I'm going to wait on God, but you sit in the house all day. You can't, that doesn't, he's not coming. The man's not coming and knocking on the door. The woman is not coming and knocking on the door. Not like that. Those are rare instances. Very rare. But instead, if you're plugged into community, if you're plugged into environments that foster the healthy relationship, i.e. the marriage that you desire, that's what you will receive. But also, another form of that same works is it may not be necessarily you being outside, but it might be you cultivating the traits of wife and husband. So if you're not studying Ephesians, if you're not studying 1 Corinthians, if you're not studying these things and then becoming the embodiment of that. So like, even in this season, with me knowing that I desire marriage at one point in my life, I'm trying and becoming more accustomed to submitting to the will of the Lord. So that means that if I'm submitting, that means my primary mission has always been to glorify him, but it's also when he tells me to move, I move. When he tells me to stop, I stop. When he tells me to slow down, I slow down. Even if in my human mind, I find that there's something, I feel like I could do it a different way. Submitting says, okay, I trust God enough to work his plan versus work my plan, even if his plan doesn't make sense to me. And it's the heavy on it to me. Same thing with job opportunities. Same thing with businesses. You want a business, you want a job, but you're not applying for them. You're not even stewarding the job that you have well now. You're not planting good seeds so that God can work a new thing in the background or even in the forefront for you where you can receive the very thing that you desire. And that's oftentimes where we get stuck. We are in church, we're singing songs like trusting God and firm foundation, but don't showcase any actions that see that. So if Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, then we ultimately will be redeemed. We will ultimately be taken care of. We think about even, I didn't even write it, but like, Jehovah Jireh, right? Or like Jireh the song, where it's like, if he dresses the lilies in beauty and splendor, how much more will he clothe you? I think that that's why when we look at that scripture, we have to really break down what that means. Because if you look at birds are not, don't look worried. They just fly around and they pick up food and they pick up things because they know that the Lord is going to take care of them. And they don't even have the brain capacity that we do. So if the birds know that and the lilies know that, where does it move for us? It oftentimes is not hitting us. We're having this faith problem because we are used to living in a world that our efforts produce the outcomes that we desire. If I study hard in school, I will get an A. If I apply for as many jobs as I get, eventually somebody will say yes. So we have an inflated and almost idolatry to our busyness, to our work, to our all of these things. And then we're even less reliant on the actual harvest of our efforts. So like we put in all this work, but then we don't trust God to harvest it. So you may have been working on healing from past relationships or, you know, creating healthier financial goals and all of these things. And then when God's like, okay, I'm ready for you to be in this thing, we are questioning God. We are, you know, circling around him and being like, are you sure, God? I don't know. Can you give me another sign? Da, 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 da. And I do it all the time. I know exactly what God has told me. He said it very clearly. He's not a tormentor. He's not a God who is going to dangle something in front of my face and then not give it to me. So I know these things. And sometimes I'll still go, well, God, are you sure this is what you called me to do? Is this the thing that you really want in my life right now? And I know that God probably is just looking at me like, I'm just going to wait on you because I already know what I want for you, but clearly you don't. So I'm gonna let you cook until I give you over to your desires, which is your own inflated ability, your own perspective, the lie that you've adopted and things of this nature. And even worse, sometimes we begin to present our works from a legalistic standpoint. So like our church attendance, our inaction when we're waiting on the Lord, and just Christianity becoming a lifestyle. We present that as works. So then when things are not happening for us, we are confused about it. And then even more, we become jealous when we see people living the life that we want to live and wondering, well, what are they doing that's different than what I'm doing? And one of the things my pastor always says is you don't know the prayer life of the next person. They may be on their knees praying to God and staying in communication with him, and he's directing and guiding. So they're still getting opportunities and they're paying attention and they're waiting and they're saying, you know what? I trust in the Lord with all my heart. I don't lean on my own understanding. And because I don't, I'm going to trust that you're going to make all things well for me. Which is powerful if you really think about it. Some people have the gift of faith. That is a spiritual gift, is to have the gift of faith where it's like, I don't know how you're going to do this, Lord, but I'm going to follow your plan. I'm going to move to that city. I'm going to date that person. I'm going to open up that business. I'm going to start in that ministry. And then you look up and they're in this beautiful thing that God cultivated and crafted just for them. And this episode may be more of a conversation that I'm having with myself than it's a conversation with you guys, because I know that a lot of times I get convicted in that area where I can have faith for my friends. I can have faith for my family members. I believe blinded eyes can be opened and bodies can be cured. I believe that with my whole heart and soul, but at times I do not believe that for myself, and that causes me to either become way too active or it makes me become very inactive. And it's weary trying to, you know, lean in and, you know what God has for you. But I think a lot of us know, we just want him to come down from this, you know, cloud and sit right in front of us and say like, hey, this is what I want you to do next. And even still, we would have comebacks. That's why it's the sin of partiality. It's the sin you can't serve two masters, because you can't believe God for something and then not believe him in the same time. That's killing and suffocating us, because we're being deceived in the instance of, well, you're not, there's something so special about you that God is not going to make this thing happen for you. There's been so many instances in the Bible of people who have believed God for things. And while it did not happen the way they thought it was going to happen, it did not change the fact that we are still taken care of. Even when we read a Psalms like Psalms 13, where it's six verses that talks about the weariness of how long suffering is going to happen. When is deliverance going to come? And I most likely believe that this psalm was written during David's run from Saul, who was persecuting him and wanted him dead. We realize in that moment that he's lamenting. He's like, how long, Lord? How long are people going to, you know, blaspheme me? How long am I going to suffer? How long am I not going to hear your voice? That's what he says for the first four verses. But when we get to those last two, we hear these words: but I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Let's talk about that steadfast word, because I woke up this morning with that on my mind. When God says the steadfast love of God, that means it's unwavering. It means that is diligent. That means it's not letting up. God is persistent with his love for us. So no matter how many times you don't believe you deserve it, no matter how many times you feel like it's not meant for you, no matter how many times you find yourself in a position to doubt what God has already told you, you have to realize that his love is steadfast. And it can't go nowhere. And he's not tapping out. He has not tapped out in his entire existence. And he's not going to tap out in 2025. And he's definitely not going to tap out with you. we have to get out of this like notion that we're so special that God just stops thinking about us. I know it's hard. Like, I know in the midst of your suffering, it's hard. But God literally did not bring you this far for him to just drop the ball on you. When I first started back, you know, walking with God, it was a slow track, y'all, but I was getting there. One of my good friends gave me this song. She was like, you know, this song really helps me when I'm feeling down, when I'm suffering, where I'm just feeling lost and all the things. And it was Maverick City Music, Man of Your Word. And I remember driving in my car, working at a job that I did not want to be at, y'all. I hated the job. And just feeling like, Lord, when am I going to be able to do what I've been called to do? When am I going to not have to suffer in this way under bad management and things like that? The lyric that stood out to me so prominently, like it was like a red sign that I could not miss. And it was like, we have this confidence that you'll finish what you started. God, you have never failed. You won't start with me. And I just remember bawling my eyes out in the car because I just, for the first time, felt like, why am I the lone wolf or the lone sheep that God is just going to fail with me? And ever since I heard that, I realized that it was time not only for me to turn back to God, but also that I have to stop with this narrative that I am forgotten, that God is going to abandon me, that I'm going to make a mistake in this world, or I have this scarcity mindset that was the branch of the anxiety that I experienced all the time, that God was going to not fail, was going to fail me. And so that's where my faith grew. And even now, I want my faith to continue to grow, but I have to recognize that the only way it will grow is if I become the hands and feet of God in all the things that I do. If I become the embodiment of the things that I desire, then why would it not happen for me? Why would it not happen? And then why would it not happen for you? Our faith problem is attached to our inability to remove ourselves from whatever God is going to do. If we look at this and realize that it's about the trust. So when you're in a space of faithlessness, where you just feel like you're hopeless, there's nothing you can do, that is the perfect time to let down your efforts, the things that people have told you are going to get you what you want with God, and lean in and listen and see, Lord, what do you want for my life? I will go where you go. Take on the message of Ruth. Take on the message of Isaiah, where clean my heart. I want to walk with you. I don't want anything else in this world. And it's not to say that you won't get what you desire, but I think the thing I notice a lot about the people who have received the things in their life, and I think that they're great blessings for them, is they just worked the plan that God gave them. That's all they did. They became the embodiment of the traits that they wanted. They thought with expectancy and abundancy. Faith is an abundancy mindset. Trust is an abundancy mindset. So if you're like me and you find yourself in scarcity mind, you have to shift out of it and realize that with God, all things are possible. All things are possible with God, but it has to be with Him. So I just pray for each and every one of you guys who are struggling with faith, who don't quite know what to do next, that feels like your actions are not being seen and not being heard or being acknowledged. Just know that, one, God has not forgotten about you, that He still remembers you very intimately. And all He wants to do is show you what He can do in your life if you would work the plan that He has for you. That's what I pray for each and every one of you. So that is it for today. I pray that this episode gave you another reason to say yes to God. Continue to press in. And as Luke wrote in his Gospels, the heavens are rejoicing over your decision. Love and blessings.